from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Detroit basketball!
Vincent Goodwill. I love the way he shows up. I love the energy. I love the insight. When I say somebody's a good friend of the program, what that means is we have good access and they bring something good to it. And they're loyal and they show up a certain way.
He's the host of the Good Word podcast on Yahoo Sports Ball Don't Lie channel. He's also a writer at Yahoo Sports and host on SiriusXM's NBA Radio. The brother's an up-and-coming star. He does great, great work covering the NBA. He's my little young buddy.
Vinny Goodwill of Yahoo Sports. I had a pleasure of working with Vinny for a few years over at NBC Sports Chicago.
You know, he was a piston through and through. I just want to throw that out there.
We America, talked about that a lot. Yeah.
America. He was a double agent. And now he's on the national level, so he can do his thing. But he was a double agent. He's still my boy, though.
Vince Goodwill, appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so much, my man. Keep doing a great job you've been doing, all right? We'll talk soon.
Every time I've had a career decision, I've called Stephen A. Smith. And every time Stephen A. has told me, in no uncertain terms, you better take that damn job. So, Steve, I appreciate you, my man. Love you.
All the best, man. Love you too, my man.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
This is a little bit of a right turn, Vin.
How far right are we going?
No.
Afternoons on The Score.
For the first time since 1975, this is the NBA Finals where you have two black head coaches.
I wonder how many of those have been Christian coaches.
David Aldridge.
Man, in the midst of it all, he is Vinny Goodwill. He is with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What up, Vin?
Y'all clearly update this after every time something happens in my professional life. I appreciate the dedication.
You got it, man. I mean, who knows how long that thing is going to be next time we talk to you. Were you involved in any viral moments at Team USA camp, as far as you know, in Las Vegas?
As far as I know, no, but I don't know what goes viral, what qualifies as viral nowadays, so you never know what the hell.
God, that's so great. Listen, and you know that I would be fine just playing the Jim Rome intro to you. When I say friend of the program, I mean he comes on the show. He is Vinny Goodwill. He brings it. When I say
you
he brings
can't say
it,
you of all people have no you have no reason to be saying anything about anybody, Mr. Colin Cowherd. You can't say anything about anybody. You be quiet.
No, you can say anything you want about me, though, Vin.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do my best Ashley Brewer impression. You know what I mean, Vin? I'm just trying to step up, try to give Danny what he needs. As
he's
a partner.
Failing. Yeah.
He's
failing.
Well, it's, and I can't even date Frank Kaminsky. That is not even available to me anymore.
Mariam.
Mariam. Vin. So you're in Vegas at Team USA's camp, and does that mean you get to watch the scrimmages? Are you watching when everything is going down? What was the access like? Because it's just, it's so cool to think about all that greatness together and you getting to watch it and cover it up close.
Well, contrary to belief, we don't watch everything. Like the snippets, I'm sure that you guys see from Instagram on USA Basketball or the NBA app, those cameras are there. We walk in a lot of times, maybe for the last 10 minutes, maybe the last quarter of a scrimmage. And I would love to see, like, I actually know the person. This is not a flex. I know the person who has the camera footage from Monte Carlo in 1992 when there was the famous Magic and Michael. And he will not give me the footage. He will say, you can come by and watch it, but I ain't giving it to you. Like, I won't say this is as close to it, but I will say the Cooper Flagg experience, which I'm sure that you two are probably very, very curious about. I think the Cooper Flagg experience is very, very real, and that's why I wonder if that's what we're starting to see, some soft tanking moves by some franchises to put themselves in position to draft this soon-to-be 18-year-old, American-born, American-speaking, and American-looking young man.
How ridiculous do you think the hype will get?
I mean, like, look, we've seen Caitlin Clark, right? You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine what the equivalent for that would be in the men's game in terms of college basketball and in terms of what the appetite would be? And I don't think I am speaking out of turn. Like, you tell me, considering this could be your tribe, right? You tell me.
He's Jewish.
And I remember, I don't remember, I wasn't there, I wasn't born yet, not that old. But the last American-born white player to go to college, turn it out, go to the league, and fulfill all the promise, if not exceed it, was one Larry Joe Bird. It's been about 40-plus years since such a thing has happened. I mean, ain't it about time that y'all churned out another good one? Y'all are lagging.
We're due.
We're trying. Like, I'm having kids. Danny's having kids. Like, what more do you want us to do, Vin?
Listen,
I'm trying to
Vin, Vin job, we speak for the Jewish basketball players, not the white basketball players, okay?
Yeah, I mean, like, Nadav Henefeld, but he was Israeli. We can't even really claim him, you know?
Dolph Shays.
Going back to – and Danny Shays, if we're doing that. But I'm trying to think, though. Chris Mullin? Mullin was
his prime wasn't long enough, but he had the pedigree. Kevin Love was another one that I thought of because he came from the UCLA system. He just never achieved the individual success on the championship level. Like, we are scraping the crates here. Like, I'm tired of the black dudes having to carry you people. I'm just joking.
No, you're not joking. You're right. It's embarrassing. And frankly, the foreign whites are helping the domestic whites out tremendously.
It's true. It's true. Luka makes us look relevant sometimes.
Yeah, Jokic. If you include the foreign whites, we got a pretty good team.
Like, so when I say you people, don't tase me, bro. I'm clearly joking. I don't mean you people
right.
as a pejorative. Okay,
Vin, could you help get some brothers into baseball? Then I mean, if we're gonna do this, you know, if
y'all
if this...
don't want us there, in case you don't know that, want us in baseball. Okay,
yes, we do. We apologize. We didn't for a while. It was a long time ago. We were wrong about that. We admit that now, Vince.
Y'all don't want us to. Y'all steer us towards basketball and being wide receivers and cornerbacks. We don't even get the middle linebacker positions no more. Like, we're starting to phase out of there, too. Like we take quarterback. We start taking quarterback. Y'all like, cool, we'll take some cornerbacks. We'll take some linebackers from your asses. Like, we are literally in danger. Whenever we take a couple inches, y'all take a few yards. You see how that works?
Hey, Philly drafted a white safety this year from Iowa. We can't field a secondary on our team, Vin.
Y'all drafted a white safety from Iowa? Y'all couldn't even get one from USC?
No, listen, he played corner, but he thinks he's going to play safety in the NFL in Cooper DeJean. And, yeah, we don't have four white defensive backs in the NFL. It's a problem for our team.
Can't make a second.
I mean, look, good luck to Caleb Williams having to deal with all this racial strife.
Yeah. A lot of hype. A lot of hype.
Hopefully people know that I'm being, like, really satirical here. As opposed to, like, we're going to send this to Benny's employer and ask him about black writers, and we don't have enough white writers in the NBA. Like, don't get me fired, y'all.
Hey, man, you're a known commodity.
For the whole segment.
Yeah, no, you're a known commodity in this town. And remember, on Spiegel and Parkins, which was a very different show, you presented yourself as a chocolate option, as having another chocolate option. So
I did.
You're all good. I can't decide whether I'm rooting for Cooper Flagg or not, though, based on the conversation. You know,
Why wouldn't you root for Cooper Flagg?
Well, I mean, are the Bulls?
Do you not want the Bulls to have nice things? Do you want Cooper Flagg to go to Salt Lake City, Utah, which means we'll never see him again?
No,
I mean
that's
where he's going, right? Based on this profiling that we're doing, he's gonna feel very comfortable in Salt Lake City.
I mean, or he could be like the other kid from Duke that was brainwashed and everything else, allegedly.
Yeah, okay. Now you've made me uncomfortable.
Hey, look, the Duke white player ends up doing a podcast and then coaching LeBron James. So, you know,
not
it's
that one.
Yeah. Oh, not that one?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. 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 Oh, I mean, he is an American white.
He is an American white, easily influenced.
One of our best.
No, not.
Sad.
On that subject, though, actually, we'll pivot to an actual basketball thought. Why is LeBron's camp trying to convince us that he is not powerful and influential over the Lakers offseason when they drafted his kid? They drafted the guy that he said was his favorite player in college basketball, Dalton Knecht, other than his kid. And they hired his podcast co-host to be his head coach. And then they're like, yeah, but LeBron really isn't that involved in the Lakers offseason. It would be okay if they said LeBron has earned a seat at the table. I do not get the messaging.
Well, I mean, you can talk to your friend Nick Wright. Like, I'm sure Nick doesn't get exact messaging from LeBron, but he knows what LeBron wants to be said, right? And I think LeBron is smart enough to not be directly connected. I'm not calling the man Kaiser Soze, right? But I am saying that there could be a consigliere here in such a way that will convey the messages. I do, but I really do. I think LeBron is smart enough not to say anything. I think the Lakers are also smart enough to do or to know what LeBron wants. Do I think that LeBron's favorite player next to his son was really Dalton Knecht? No, I think LeBron said that because it was the right thing to say or because LeBron wants to always center himself in the messaging. I think the Lakers also, you also realize that in the world full of billionaire owners, remember all this new money that has come into the NBA, the Lakers and the Bulls, legacy franchises, are two of the only franchises that is still run by, like, old money, not new money. The Reinsdorfs and the Buses. The Reinsdorfs are a different entity, I would say, than the Buses. The Buses, the Lakers are the family business. So they don't have a compass outside of the connections that they have. The Bus family, the Rambis family. Now, the James family is fully, you know, sort of ingrained into Laker culture. And because Laker culture is star culture, you're going to do everything the star wants because you want in the future for other stars to consider you as a place that is home and friendly to stars looking for influence and looking for warmth.
You think there's long game here of LeBron envisioning the James family knee deep in Lakers culture for years and years to come?
No. LeBron's long game is the non-existent team in Las Vegas that I'm sure is going to come in the next couple of years. That's the long game. That's the smart play, is expansion franchise, new money, new location, or wherever it may be. I don't think I'm going to take over the Los Angeles Lakers because the Lakers are synonymous with the Bus family. You go somewhere where you can create a team in your own image that you don't have to go against Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant. You're not in the shadows of anybody. You can create on your own blank canvas.
But before we talk a little Bulls, let's switch coasts. This broke over the last 30 minutes or so. Jalen Brunson has signed a four-year, $156 million extension, according to Woj, that is $113 million less than he would be eligible to get next year. It is done with the long-term goal of the Knicks being able to keep building a championship team. And are you buying that as the message, as the reason that Jalen Brunson did this? And how close are the Knicks to the Celtics at this point?
I mean, it's nice to dream. You know what I mean? As far as being close to championship contention, I look at the Knicks and I look at their coach. And we've all seen his movies, and I would love to think that Tom Thibodeau has learned his lesson to not burn his players out. I just don't know if that necessarily has been received and it will be applied in the same way. But as far as Jalen Brunson is concerned, yeah, he's on an under-market contract. He's a member of CAA. The Knicks are run by Leon Rose, who was head of basketball for CAA. So do I believe that there was some, you know, some love, some hometown discount or whatever? Sure. Am I giving up $100 million in a year for the belief that maybe, just maybe, the Knicks will be a championship team over the next 4 or 5 years? Absolutely not. But do I think the Knicks have other plans in place when there's the new media money coming in and everything else? Possibly. You just don't know. And if I'm advising a player, I'm telling them take every single dollar that's on the table, because winning is not guaranteed.
He hosts the Good Word podcast. He is Vinny Goodwill of Yahoo Sports. We know it won't be much. We know they want to do it. What is the most the Bulls could hope to get for Zach LaVine?
I wonder, and I think about that. Maybe you can get a first, and it won't be a first-round pick this coming year, right? Because everybody wants to get into this draft. And I'm sure the Bulls fans would love to look at it and say, you know what? We're going to have our first, plus the first we get from whatever team we send Zach to. But I just don't think that is realistic. I think even when you think back to the Kyrie Irving trade from Cleveland, I'm going way in the way back machine. Cleveland's first pick when they got in that deal was a trade they made with the Clippers. And the Clippers' ping pong balls gave the Cleveland Cavaliers the number one pick in 2011. It wasn't their pick. Their pick wound up going outside of the top three, which netted them Tristan Thompson. So I think you want to give yourselves as a franchise as many opportunities as possible to get one of these franchise-changing players.
If you think an unprotected first-round pick from a not-great team is possible, though, even if it's 26 or 27? You think that's possible?
Yeah, I think that's possible. I do think that's possible because I think at a point, and I know Chicago might have Zach LaVine fatigue to some degree. At some point, some team will look at him and say, oh, that's not a contract, that's a player. And I think we're at the point now where we're firmly in the point of, oh, Zach LaVine is a contract with a guy who's had health issues, and maybe he doesn't get along with his coach, and you're missing all the efficiency that's there. You're missing the fact that if he's your third best player and you're asking him to score and defend on the ball, that you've got something really, really critical and really, really good here. I think the NBA makes this mistake, and teams follow a copycat, of they don't look at the player as a basketball player. They look at him as a spot on a salary cap. And I think Zach has unfortunately been caught in that and maybe some reputation stuff. But I do think hopefully the Bulls, for the Bulls' sake and for Bulls' fans' sake, you know, because you haven't been out of the first round in nearly 10 years, like that's a long time for you guys. You know, you're a championship organization, you know, outside of Michael Jordan, maybe not. You know, you guys fancy yourselves as that, right? In Chicago, you think you're a championship organization. So it's time to start over and figure out what we got in Patrick Williams and Kobe White and some of these other pieces. You give them a runway, and if you wind up tanking it out and you get lucky, as teams like Chicago want to do, then maybe you got something.
What do you think of what they've done so far? They've turned DeMar DeRozan into Chris Duarte, 27-year-old oft-injured backup point, and 2 second-rounders, and they turned Alex Caruso into Josh Giddey with no draft picks attached. How's that return for those two guys?
I'm surprised they didn't get anything for Josh Giddey. I'm surprised. For Alex Caruso as far as draft picks, I'm really surprised. But just because Oklahoma City has draft picks to give doesn't mean they're going to give them to you. And I think that's the mistake that's being made, because you don't see a lot of first-round picks being traded this offseason. I think because that was the first move, everybody assumed Karnašovas and Mark Eversley didn't get a first-round pick. They're not doing their job. You don't see first-round picks being moved a lot. You may see some seconds. You may even see a future first. But everybody's kind of holding their powder dry just to see what the financial projections are looking like. And because we're in this, you know, second tax apron world, teams are not necessarily looking to offload their first-round draft picks in the future. But I think as far as for the Bulls, it sends a clear signal. We're starting over. We're not trying to win. Where I think this is what Bulls fans maybe, and you guys have been hoping for a long time, is hitting rock bottom and accepting that and hoping that it will be a short time on the bottom.
I want to go back to Team USA just for a minute with Vinny Goodwill. What do you make of the conversation comparing this team in terms of talent? Not in terms of impact, not in terms of margin of victory or dominance, but in terms of top-to-bottom talent to the Dream Team.
I mean, you do realize I'm from Detroit, right?
I do realize that, yes, sir.
You do realize what the Dream Team signifies to me, right?
I do realize that Isaiah Thomas was not on that team, yes, sir.
Uh-huh, didn't deserve it.
Say that again?
He didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve it. He had showcased who he was as a human, and they didn't need his vibes on that team, man.
Do you want me to hang up the phone right now?
Are you trying to get under my skin on a Friday afternoon?
Hey, you were just trolling us with fancy yourself a championship organization outside of Michael Jordan.
Isn't that what Gar Forman told you guys for years, that they were fancying themselves?
We're not here to live in the past, Vin. Gar Forman's long been gone.
Hey, man.
I saw him at USA Basketball. He ain't long gone. He's going to resurface somewhere else.
Hey, man, those jamokes walking off the court like the Bulls didn't deserve kudos for having finally gotten over the hump means you get snubbed. Deal with it. Own it.
Oh, you want to have this conversation now? Do you want to have this conversation now? Do you want to have
it? He does. Get it, Vin.
I'm right here.
Okay. I will, since I'm the guest, this is what I will do. I will determine the narrative. I will take it from LeBron James's cue. Between games 3 and 4, Michael Jordan said the Bad Boys didn't deserve their championships, as if the Bad Boys championships didn't have Chicago Bulls blood on it. All right? Rightful blood. Your blood is on Detroit Pistons banners. Take that. Now, to the dream team of this era compared to 1992.
Yes.
I think from a pedigree standpoint, because Stephen Curry, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant are all on the back ends of their careers. They're not the supernovas that they were when they were in their actual absolute prime. You can make the argument that, you know, of course, Magic Johnson, you already seen the best of him. He was no longer playing. Larry Bird had retired officially from the NBA before the 1992 Dream Team. You know, John Stockton had a broken leg. Chris Mullin wasn't playing. You know what I mean? Like that type of thing. You could say that if you match them up at that particular point in time, maybe something is comparable. But I don't think anything necessarily compares to the majesty, compares to the significance of the 1992 Dream Team when you just consider the names and everything that they had gone through. This might be the best team since then. I might take this team theoretically above the 2008 Redeem Team, but in terms of top to bottom, you know, talent and everything else, like I'm not sure it necessarily matches up if all parties were healthy in 1992.
I think that's a great answer. It's a great answer, and it's and because 92 had everybody that deserved to be there. You know,
are you doing this, Matt Spiegel? Are you doing this, Matt Spiegel? Are you doing this? Do you really want to do this? Do you really want to do this?
Not really.
The playoff tally between Detroit, Isaiah's Detroit, and Michael Jordan Chicago was 3-1. And if you can, everybody in Chicago says migraine headache, but I got the film. The Bulls were down 26 points in the third quarter of Game 7. Scottie Pippen wasn't making them no 26-point difference, all right? So get that fantasy out of your brains. You were not beating Detroit in Detroit. You won when you won, and there's props given. You had the greatest player of all time at the peak of his powers. I've said this many times on this airways and elsewhere. 1991, Michael Jordan was the greatest player I think we will ever have seen. I take nothing away from it. And at the same time, Isaiah Thomas was playing with a broken hand and a broken foot.
He seems triggered, doesn't he, Danny? Seems triggered.
Does, a little defensive.
I feel very, very serene right now. I'm not triggered at all. I'm not yelling. Oh, y'all want me to go angry black man. Oh, okay. I get it now, guys.
Kirk Heinrich, hell of a player. Hell of a white player.
Yeah. He mentioned John Stockton right there.
Yeah,
you got that. I still believe this kid Damon Bailey from Indiana is going to break out. I really do.
There you go. You are touching them all today. You're touching every base today. Inside the park home run for you, Speeds.
Have a good weekend, Vinny Goodwill. We'll be listening to the podcast. The good word. Thank you, sir.
I hope your phone lines are lit up with people cursing me right now. Appreciate y'all.
See ya.
Thank you, Vince.
That's Vinny Goodwill.
Oh God, I love that guy.
Yeah, he's hilarious. He's great. The intro is getting long though. There's a lot of appearances. There's a lot of like that guy finds himself in the midst. Yeah. It's so good.
We're gonna add this to it next time.
We should.
I don't know what was more fun, talking Bulls Pistons with Vinny or talking grown men urinating in first class with Ron Kittle. It's been quite an hour.
It's been a Friday show. Yeah, it's felt real, real good. Jed Hoyer, if you missed him in an hour, something absolutely ridiculous on the station earlier today that made us laugh, coming up after 5 o'clock. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
All the energy he can get. I'm Andrew Perloff.
You know, we call today Feel Good Friday, so I'm trying to stick to that, you know?
I like it.
Hey, Spiegs, I got good news.
Oh, tell me, sir, tell me.
We are officially 1 week away from the Bears reporting for training camp at Halas Hall. And the Score will have in-depth coverage of training camp to get you set for the 2024 season. Bears training camp coverage on the Score, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, the number one draft pick Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Hey, man, this station's been around since January of 92, and it has long, long been a tradition of shows going live to training camp. You know, it forever. Back to legendary trips to Platteville, Wisconsin for the Bears there. And obviously all the years we went down to Bourbonnais, to Olivet Nazarene, and we knew all the bars and would show up and play bags with Bears beat writers when they still talked to us and hadn't blocked us on social media.
My bad.
And this is going to be, this is a historic and special kind of Bears training camp with expectations unlike anything I can really truly remember because of the quarterback confidence and possibilities. I know after Double Doink that year and that offseason, we had big time possibilities and we had hopes for Mitch, but Caleb's a different cat, and it feels like, you know, a decade of relevance is an option that we have to truly consider as Bears fans, and we really haven't had that in a long, long, long time, if ever.
Yeah, we're doing a show 2 weeks from today from Hallis Hall, which is pretty exciting. So,
I mean, that's awesome.
Very much looking forward to that. That, like, the giveaway of the tickets and then the spiking of the prices and then the pulling of the tickets and the whole thing, like, the demand is very hot for these Bears training camp tickets. It's a little sad that, you know, average fan can't just go and they get gouged on secondary ticket prices. But we talked about that when it happened, right? When they left Bourbonnais,
yeah,
fewer practices were going to be open to the public. And when they were open to the public, fewer people were going to be able to go. And that's a bummer, because when you do it at these offsite locations, it's much easier for fans to attend all of the practices, but it's more inconvenient for the teams now that they have these super facilities. So you add in limited supply and historic demand, and that's just what happens.
Can I say something about that real quick?
Please.
In every sport and every city and every team, when you mix, in Danny's words, historic demand and limited supply, the average fan has always been left out. That's just what it is. I don't feel bad for Bears fans that can't afford to make it to training camp to see Caleb Williams in underwear practice, because you're about to get 15 years of, in this organization's history, unprecedented success. If you can't make it to training camp, I don't care at all. Average fans are shut out from stuff like this all the time. The Bears are at now.
You can have some human empathy for
those
people.
Of course I could if I wanted to. They can pay $200 for a game ticket, or even better, watch it on your damn TV. Because it's better.
Well, it is better.
Stand out in the August heat in Lake Forest.
And here's the truth is, man, that even if no matter how much hype there is, you'll still be able to get a ticket to a preseason game for $10 or $20.
Exactly.
Yes, you
go watch the
preseason games. Will not sell out. That will not be a tough ticket. Now, does he play? How often does he play? The ability to get an autograph or a picture, like the intimacy of training camp, is something that has been lost for rich fans and, you know, poor fans and everyone in between.
The intimacy and the accessibility. You're right about both of it. I mean, so many times I can picture, you know, a family rolling into Bourbonnais with a chance to see a Bears practice up close. But, you know, this is the way of the world, and it's sad. I find it sadder than Shane does. But I was just reading about the McDonald's, like there was a business conference. I read it in the Axios email this morning. There's a business conference where the CEO of McDonald's was talking about the $5 meals that they have and wondering whether, you know, I guess the interviewer was asking whether it was good for the health of America or that kind of thing. But anyway, that conference was at the Four Seasons. It was at the Four Seasons, and the president of McDonald's basically saying, it's important to remember that our consumers are not the people in this room. It's like the disconnect between the elites of business and the people who are consuming has never been more vast. So I do find it a little gross that up in Lake Forest, you know, the limited tickets are happening up there where a lot of people can't get and can't afford to get. I do find that to be a bummer for an institutional brand like the Bears.
Are they, when's Family Fun Day at Soldier Field?
It's normally right before the first preseason game, right?
Yeah.
It's good. So, it's a good question. That's a good opportunity. And I'm sure that's how it's rationalized.
August 6th. Sunday, August 6th.
Right.
Oh, so yeah, go to that.
That's
I'm
sure. Speaks honestly, I actually don't think it's rationalized on a. Because the tickets from the Bears weren't expensive. It's just that there's so few of them that people got them and then auctioned them off. I actually don't think this is really a greed money-making thing by the NFL. This is a practicality thing. This is Halas Hall is nicer than Olivet Nazarene. Mm-hmm. I think it is actually that simple. We have multiple fields. We have indoor facilities. We have outdoor facilities. We have our video. We have our massage table. We have our cold table.
Convenient. It's way more convenient for the entire infrastructure. They don't have to load trucks and take everything down there. So
and it's ridiculous. Like the quarterbacks making $60 million a year are going to sleep in dorms. That's not what we know about sports science and sleep and modern medicine and all that. So I actually don't think this is a greed thing. I think this is just the facilities have gotten too good thing. The money is too big thing.
Mm. I guess it also connects to a decay in the old belief that cloistering your players away in that kind of kept environment is essential to try and build the culture that you need. And it's a good question for Wani. It's a good topic to talk about with Dave Wannstedt, our guy who's going to be with us next Thursday. August 6th, by the way, is a notable day for this Bears offseason. It's not just Family Fun Day. That's Hard Knocks, right? It's Hard Knocks is August 6th.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's episode one?
That's episode one.
Yeah,
so, Hard Knocks.
So you go to Family Fun Day and you go home and watch Hard Knocks on your DVR. That's a hell of a Bears double.
Wait, right, hold on. That is a flyer from 2023. Family Fest in 2024 is not happening.
Oh.
Whoa.
That's what Reddit's telling me.
A lot of bad info out there.
August 6th was 2023.
And next you're going to tell me this is not Pizza Friday.
Yeah, also White Sox Fest not happening.
There's no Family Fun Day for the Bears this year?
I mean, that's what the internet is saying as of 2 days ago. I'm going to try to dig deeper, but...
Text someone in Bears PR.
It says
I'm going to text Caleb.
It says any day you're with your family is fun day.
Oh.
That's what it actually says.
Danny famously says that.
August 6th, by the way, is a Tuesday, according to Texture. So, yeah, that's not family fun day.
Okay.
But it is Hard Knocks Day. Hard Knocks does come out on a Tuesday, apparently.
Hard Knocks does come out on Tuesdays.
There's nothing that says there's a Family Fest.
Texters are saying it's a ramification of being in the Hall of Fame game. Mm. That it's part of that.
That makes sense.
Tangentially.
So how are they going to introduce Dallas Keuchel if there's no Fan Fest this year? That's the last time the White Sox had a Fan Fest. They introduced Dallas Keuchel.
Oh, thank you very much.
I like it.
Milwaukee Brewers own.
Sorry Dallas about Keuchel. That.
Wow. All right. Well, do you feel bad now, Shane?
I don't ever really feel bad about much.
Right.
But no, what I'm saying is there are so many other options to get better access than like going to Lake Forest for free and then just standing in the heat, watching these guys practice for 35 minutes and then just packing stuff up and going to buy your like old Rex Grossman practice jersey in the gift shop. Just go to a game or watch it on TV or go to a preseason game. Your kids will be very appreciative. They don't want to lug their asses to Lake Forest and put on all that damn sunscreen and just stand there and watch them throw half-assed out routes to DJ Moore. Nobody wants that. Stop complaining about ticket prices for training camp. Be happy that you have a franchise quarterback, an incredible wide receiver room, an incredible running back room, an incredible defense. Shut the hell up about not being able to afford to go to practice. Go have your own practice in the backyard. I feel like studs. Ugh.
Ooh, how does that feel?
I'm yelling like studs. My God.
All
Hey, yeah, it's Friday, buddy. Just relax. It's gonna be fine.
Your empathy for the poor is quite something.
I don't think they like to be referred to as the poor.
I didn't say that. Jed
Hoyer in 40 minutes. We got some recommendations for each other and you next on The Score.
What are you watching? They'd rather have 12 TVs set up in their TV watching cave.
What are you watching?
What's missing? Give up? Television.
This ain't reality TV!
Binging TV shows.
But what are you watching?
She's watching all of NCIS right now.
Leave that. Don't touch that. My program's coming on.
You've been seeing that?
What are you watching?
Figured it's been too long. We've been away from each other a little bit. There have been some vacations, some travel.
I was hosting Colin Cowherd.
You
did a great job.
Thank you, guys.
Shane, great job filling in for Ashley.
Appreciate that. Thank you. We had a good time. I also did Law & Order SVU last week. I was the woman. What's her name?
Mariska Hargitay?
Yes, I was her. Yeah,
thank you very much. Who is the daughter of who? You guys know who her mom was?
Cynthia Hargitay.
Another cop?
No, I believe her mom was Jane Mansfield, right?
Oh, wow. Who's that?
Fun fact.
Yeah, it was Jane Mansfield. Legendary.
Oh, Playboy.
Legendary blonde bombshell from old Hollywood in the 50s and 60s.
Well, she died at 34.
Yeah, legendary figure. Died at 34 in a car crash.
She did have a legendary figure, I can see.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's a weird way to describe her.
great Seinfeld show bit here, but we can't say it.
Good Shane, job, Shane, as long as you're there, yeah. Google Jane Mansfield and Sophia Loren for one of the great pictures of all time. Sophia Loren angered.
Do I have to go into a incognito?
No.
You're good. You're good. You know the picture I'm talking about.
I do.
Oh, Sophia Loren looking down.
Yes. Ooh. So Sophia Loren looking askance at what Jane Mansfield is bringing to the table.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a great picture.
Okay.
Anyway, carry on.
No, I mean, I was just curious. Just curious if you guys have watched anything good recently. People are doing that this time of year, looking for a show.
Watching television, yes.
Well, I'm just, I somehow have not finished The Bear yet. I think I'm going to finish it tonight, so please no Bear spoilers, but anything.
Caleb Williams is the quarterback this year.
Yeah, no, he's going to be good. That's true.
Oh, no.
I watched the new Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F.
Oh, to do tell. I've wondered. I've been occasionally tempted, but I've not bit the bullet on that. Tell.
So on the flight, it's like I want something mindless, something fun. I'm a little bit of a nervous flyer, so I was like, all right, give me something mindless and fun. And it was mindless and fun. It's a throwback movie. It is a movie that is like, you're like, why is this happening? Why is this investigation happening? Why does he need to be the one to investigate it?
He doesn't. He doesn't.
Yeah, of course he doesn't.
Wait a minute. So they did the remake, which is already lazy, but then they didn't even bother to put a real story behind it? Not that I need one for Beverly Hills Cop, but...
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, Tanny, there's a story in the sense that, his daughter got into something and he wants to help his daughter out, and so then, it's a stretch, but I will say Eddie Murphy is just remarkably charismatic still.
That's awesome.
It's just fun to watch Eddie Murphy on screen for 2 hours. It's just fun. The movie doesn't really make sense.
Is Judge Reinhold in it? Is Judge Reinhold in it?
Yeah.
It is Ronnie Cox. That was my guy. Taddy, remember Ronnie Cox? He plays Lieutenant Bogomil in the original Beverly Hills Cop. I just checked. He's alive. He's 85. Was he in it by chance?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think he was in it. But
Ron Cox.
But
wow. How do we have less stuff the hell, about Ron Cox?
God, AI is wild.
That is ridiculous.
What is that? There's a less drop for everything.
This is such a sophomoric show.
If you're not looking to think critically or laugh that hard, but it's not great, but it was enjoyable, and I wish more movies like that were made.
Okay, I'll give you. I know that Tanny watched this, but I liked it more than him, and that's The Jinx Part 2. Having gotten all the way through The Jinx Part 2 about Robert Durst on HBO, I felt a sense of closure by the end of that thing, both in the story and his life and his testimony, but also in just like the kind of particular sociopath behavior that has always sort of fascinated me and that he embodies maybe better than anyone who we've ever been able to see, because he can't help but talk and put himself out there. He's like trying to prove something. So the psychological rabbit hole of the sociopathic killer is maybe best explored in the history of television for me with Robert Durst and The Jinx. And I thought Part 2 was actually really compelling and haven't been able to get it out of my head. So wow. I'll offer you that one.
All right, that's a strong.
Yeah, I'm glad I consumed it. I mean, like, you know, I don't know if he needed a whole season to tell that story of just him being put on trial, but I love meeting this cast of characters, his like socialite friends, like that group of characters there. Oh, that was worth every second of television.
And all the women that he charmed and manipulated until he couldn't anymore, you know, and what happened to all of them and how that all plays out, I thought was fascinating.
You guys watching anything?
Yeah, so I got something to throw out for you guys. I know we only got a few minutes left here, but you guys following this Kevin Costner movie? It's called The Horizon, an American Saga, which I thought was the title for a long time until right before I went in the movie and I saw it was called Horizon, an American Saga, Part 1.
I gotta hope there's not a Part 2.
So Kevin Costner,
arrogance.
Yeah,
this is the thing that he financed, right?
He did. He put up like $38 million of his own money and then got like an angel investor for the rest of it. But he left Yellowstone. I played the close drop of him leaving the show like in the middle of his promotion. He even went to see our friends at Frontier. He went to WGN Morning News to promote this motion picture. He really wants it to succeed because he's got all of his own money behind it. I went to go see it last weekend, right? And I found out that it was a Part 1, which we all know going into a movie, any movie you see is probably going to be a Part 2 if it does well enough, right? But this one is deliberately, hey, this is Part 1. It's 3 hours long, and I can tell you without any real spoilers, it's basically just like an epilogue. They're just really introducing characters for 3 hours to set you up for the ultimate climax, which is going to be Part 2, which I think comes out in September or whatever. Either way, it's not like a year from now. It's like a few weeks from now, seemingly. And I just wonder, is that dirty Jerry Angelo's dirty pool there? When you put out a deliberate prequel within like weeks of each other, you know, when
you're saying why not just make it a TV show? Like it's not a movie.
Yes, it was shot beautifully. You know, I loved that, and it was, you know, acting was great, and seems like it's going to be a great story. I just don't know yet. It has all the.
That's very frustrating.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Tanny. So what you and I like about Taylor Sheridan? Do you think this is Kevin Costner loving the concept of a Western, old school Western TV show, but wanting to get out of, like, from underneath Taylor Sheridan and do his own thing?
Yeah, like, I think Kevin Costner harkens back to the days of, like, the Westerns he grew up with, like, The Searchers and stuff like that.
The Searchers!
But he was a star of movie Westerns for a long time. You know?
Yeah, it is a lot. Like Dances with Wolves. It is a lot like that. This big epic where it's mostly, it's not even necessarily about the story itself, but it's about just, like, living in that time. So there's a lot of that going on in this film, which is fine.
And he's always fancied himself an auteur, you know, and so and he has been at times, Waterworld notwithstanding. So he's out there trying to do that one last time as well.
And Tanny, if you trust the text line, apparently Part 2 got pulled from theaters already.
No. So I don't get to close this loop. Yeah, like that's the worst case scenario, because now I'm like, that was the other thing, right? I was like, I like this movie, didn't love it. But then it's like you realize, oh, because they basically show you a trailer for Part 2 at the end of the movie. And so you do feel like you're getting kind of like, you know, rope-a-dopes a little bit. But so I was like, okay, I guess I'll see Part 2, but now you're telling me I can't even see it, huh?
Well, that's like the Mission Impossible movie that Tom Cruise just made, Dead Reckoning. It was Dead Reckoning Part 1. And at least things happened in that movie.
How many more are there going to be?
Yeah, but, I trust the Mission Impossible series. Like, you know, like, that they're going to probably, like, you know, close the story a little bit before the second one, you know? Like,
yeah, it was a fine movie. It was not nearly my favorite, like, among my favorites even of the Mission Impossible franchise. But, like, it also felt a little unnecessary because then you go into it and you're like, okay, I know I'm going to watch the next Mission Impossible also.
Yeah, dude, the arrogance.
Make two separate movies.
The arrogance of that. I don't think I've ever been more enraged than at the end of The Empire Strikes Back when it was obvious they just kind of left it all hanging and I was going to have to wait a couple years for Return of the Jedi. Like, that feeling is still there for
you
me.
You were enraged at the end of one of, like, the great movies ever.
It was so clearly part two. I don't believe it was one of the great movies ever. It on its own, it doesn't hold up. There's no, at the end you're just like, oh great, now I have to wait for 2 years. Screw you. What'd you do? And yeah, it pissed me off.
Interesting. Okay. Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a hot Empire Strikes Back take. that is flaming hot.
I wonder what Ashley Brewer would think about it. Shane,
why is that got to be a coward thought?
It doesn't. You just said take, and I had made an Ashley Brewer reference in almost 23 minutes. So,
someone in an airport just perked up because we said cowboys when we're talking about a Western. Yeah.
There we go. That's perfect.
Yeah, I've watched one episode so far, Presumed Innocent on Apple TV, Jake Gyllenhaal. He is like the district attorney of, I don't know, it's set in Chicago. I don't even know what the branch of, like, whatever he's in, but he's like a high-ranking attorney, and another attorney on his team is murdered, and he is...
Were you hooked?
Yeah, I mean, I'm one episode in, and I can't wait to watch the next.
Yes, the wow. Scott Turow novel that was a Harrison Ford movie decades ago.
Yeah, in like the 90s, I think.
Yeah. So, all right, that's cool.
Yeah, Apple really TV good. Apple good TV. I love Jake Gyllenhaal. Don't like what he did to Taylor Swift, but I like Jake Gyllenhaal.
No,
that's a that segment there. For a different day.
That's very brave.
God, I remember you guys heard all too well.
I remember that all too well.
Taylor's version.
I got All Star Week coming up. We can get to that segment.
Oh, we'll do it next week. we'll do Jake Gyllenhaal versus Taylor Swift next week. I'll book them both.
That would be very impressive.
Can you also book Ron Kittle again?
Yes. No, he's actually hosting next week. You guys are off. It's just Ron
and Goodwill.
Who are you guys voting for?
Kittle and Goodwill. That'd be good radio.
I brought my gun.
Jed Hoyer, if you missed it, in 30 minutes, something ridiculous happening on the station earlier today ahead of the biggest Cubs series of the year to date. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.